for help. Numbers chapter 14. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Morning. I'm trying to write these questions in such a way that there's not one answer to them. And I certainly don't know the answers. You guys know the answers. Good morning, Les. Pen, anybody need a pen? You guys can keep writing. If you're out there in Zoom land, at the bottom of this slide, it says for next class. I would like you to read Jude 5, 8, and 11 and do what it says. I forgot to add on there, you need to go into Numbers chapter 2 and make a map of how the Israelites were organized. So just jot that down here in Zoom land. For those of you that are in class, it's on the bottom of your sheet. Looks like I forgot to add it to the PowerPoint. We have about two more minutes here. Two more minutes. Oh, one more minute. Again, just general ideas, whatever you think. These are things hopefully we'll get to today. Question number 4 is a repeat from last class, but maybe if you went back and looked at Numbers 14 the last couple of days and after our discussion on Wednesday, that's some new things. I'll talk louder, Don. Oh, I'm going to. I'm waiting for everybody to come in once we start, I promise. Okay, I'm going to start with the prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this morning. We're so thankful again for this beautiful day. The sun is shining outside, and it's certainly easy to be outside in this community, particularly to see the mountains, to see the sun, to see the things that you created, and to reflect and understand the power that you possess and that you spoke into existence, the things which we now live on, and the things that we need to sustain life. And it's certainly amazing to understand that. We take a special moment on the first day of every week, as you have commanded us, to remember your Son. And we pray that you can help us to always do that, to not take for granted the opportunity that we have to start every week in remembering Jesus, remembering the life that he lived, and then giving up his life that we might through him have our sins washed away. We pray that you be with us this morning as we continue to walk through the book of Numbers, as we know that you have provided it for us to gain information, to gain knowledge of the way you would have us to be, the things that we need to do to walk on this earth in a proper manner in this physical life, that our heart might be proper, that our spirit might be where it needs to be, that when we are judged on the final day, that we answer for the things that we did on this earth in our physical life, the choices that we made, the light that we shine, that we might do all those things in such a way that we might be rewarded eternally with you in heaven. Be with us this day. We know there are many who continue to hear our prayers, the Russ family, as they're dealing with both mothers. Pray that you would be with them. Others that we know of who continue to need our prayers, we just pray that you would help us to reach out to them and support them in every way that we can. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to get to those questions in a minute here, a few minutes. This is the third class we're working on. Trusting the Lord is our theme. Kathy was telling me that it made her enter her birthday. I thought you could just text it. So if it's giving you information, Remind app is by no means essential to this class. Yesterday afternoon, I sent a text out that just reminded what the assignment to read was. So if you're better than me and you 100% remember what needs to be done and when it needs to be done, and you don't need a reminder, this is not essential. Those of you that are jotting this down, it's on the bottom of your piece of paper that's in your hand as well. You just text at numbers 221 to this number if you're interested. But by no means is it a requirement. You're not going to miss anything if you're not a part of the reminder app. But if you're like me, it's nice to have a reminder anyway. So on the bottom sheet. Okay, from last class, I just want to run through this real quick. Guys, we're still kind of, although we're right in the middle of Numbers, I believe we're still kind of in an introduction, trying to set up some thoughts, trying to set up some ideas as we move forward. I think even Wednesday, we're going to continue to do that. And then we're going to start working through stories as we go from there. So the first two classes, I believe, have been very productive. The discussion has been great. I hope that we can continue that. Appreciate everybody's participation. The warm-up questions are going to stay. Try to give them out before class starts. You're going to have the first 5 minutes to fill them out. There's a lot of reasons we're doing it that way, but just be used to that. So when you come in, be ready to answer the three or four questions that I provide. Most of the time, it's going to come from what you probably read or were supposed to read the class before. The main reason is it really helps discussion. So I don't want to pre-provide those because sometimes it matters where we get and how we get there. So but from last class, we talked about a few things. God speaks to Moses and tells him to send out men so that the promised land might be viewed. Talked about that. The spies returned to report to Moses and the congregation. This is one of the questions from last class. You have to put these in order. Caleb advises they leave now and possess the land. Remember, that was right after the report. And then the other spies say, yeah, right, those guys are too big. We can't do that. The people rebel and wish to elect a leader. We didn't get into that. We're going to get into that this morning and talk about that. I think it's interesting the way that that goes. Moses intercedes for the people. We'll talk about that this morning. The people admit they have sinned and attempt to possess the land. And then right at the end of chapter 14, Israel is defeated because they do try to enter the land on. We also did talk about this. Caleb advises they leave now. I know we touched on it. Let's get back to that one particular verse. That's in chapter 13, verse 30. Chapter 13, verse 30. We're in Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. We got pretty good into the fact that when the spies give the report, and the people, there's probably some in the congregation that didn't take that so well, right? And then right in the middle of it, immediately Caleb says, let's go, let's take the land. And we talked quite a bit about that on Wednesday. I just want to touch that because, what's the theme for the year?
Trust in God.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we're going to get to this morning. That's a pretty good verse. I think Numbers 13:30 is a pretty good verse as well. To say, to Randy, what does Randy always say when he teaches me class? I already knew this.
What does that mean?
That's not what I remember. What does
that look like?
What does it look like? Randy always says, I don't know if you remember as much as I do, but I appreciate when he says it. He always asks the question, well, what does it look like? And our theme for the year is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Is this not what that looks like? I think it is. And I like that Randy always asks that question. If you want to know what trust looks like, be in a congregation of how many people? I mean, it says congregation. Is that the leaders? Is that all the people? I don't know. Was it a small group? It was not a small group. And when the spies give the report, right, we're going to look at the starting numbers and the inner numbers. Israel likes to complain, and they like to say some things. And when they get that report, we talked quite a bit on Wednesday about the murmuring. What do we do when we're standing in the crowd and someone starts talking? What do? You talk to your neighbor, right? And then that neighbor talks to the neighbor, and the noise begins to build. I have to imagine that when the report's given, that even if it's just the leaders, they start to talk. And then Caleb, because he trusts in the Lord with all his heart, says, guys, let's go. I think that's what trust looks like. And I don't know if we quite 100% pulled that over his head. I just wanted, man, that's good. Because the other spies speak out and they say, we cannot possess the land. That's the opposite of trust. Right? I guess they're trusting in something. They're trusting in their own abilities instead of trusting where their trust needs to be. And so I think it's a pretty good picture of what trusting the Lord with all your heart is. Yeah, fear, absolutely. We're talking about a little bit about fear this morning. Absolutely. And can't we fall into the same trap though? We let the physical things, we let our own self, our own thoughts, our own desires, our wishes get in the way. John.
It's like limitations on ourselves. What we get our people.
Yeah, I agree.
And if God's with us, we can do anything.
You don't have to answer this. Who would have the courage of Caleb to stand up in front of God? I mean, I'd like to believe I would, but man, that was a, is it easy to stand up on an unpopular thought or unpopular belief? It never is. Probably.
I think John had a young man standing up in front of a elder. Things that he is supposed to be respectful to, and take their word.
I just think again, what does trust look like? That's the two opposites of trust. And I think it's good for what we're looking at.
I always wonder, and maybe it says in here, and I missed it, but I wonder if Caleb knew what the others were thinking, and that's why he immediately said, let's go into the land, trying to garner some support for that. Or if once he said that and the other spies spoke out, he was shocked that they didn't see the way he saw it.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that on Wednesday, and we don't want to go too far, but I agree. I mean, those spies are spying out the land, and they have to journey back to where the children of Israel are. There had to be discussion going on. We don't know if the discussion was, yeah, we can take it, or yeah, what, or, you know, in a group. Here, sometimes when it's a group discussion, it's like, yeah, we can do it. But then there's like these minor, smaller groups that go over here, like, yeah, that's okay. But it didn't really happen. But I agree. I don't know if that supports more of trusting or not, but I think it's a good point because we have recorded what we need. had to have been dialogue between before this particular report was given, John.
I get the idea of reading it that they didn't all well travel together.
Yeah, I don't know that they did, but at some point they
came back in before they talked.
I would think. Yeah, I would think that's a natural conclusion. Kathy was first in the
mind. Well, they clearly walk by sight and not by faith. And in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says that God will vindicate those who trust in him.
That's a great point. Did you guys hear that? Kathy said, clearly they were walking by sight and not by faith. That's a great point. It's a great point. Mike?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought because, you know, whether they were together or not, whether they, you know, one thing we know for sure is that in chapter 14, verse 11, in God's disappointment, he says to Moses, how long will this people spurn me and how long will they not believe in me despite all the signs that I performed in their midst? So not one of them, no matter whether they traveled together or not, no matter whether they heard anything or not, no matter what their own personal opinions are, all of them had seen the things that God had done in their midst. So their faith was actually in a way based upon sight because of the fact that they saw the things that God performed in their midst. So their trust should be built on something, but like everybody else has been saying, they were afraid.
Yeah.
And fear to go in. And they justify their fear by saying, to the point of saying, even our wives and our little ones are going to be, you know, there's a lot of justification to say, I don't care what you're saying, I'm not going to risk my children.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that this morning as we continue to walk through 14. I think that's a good point. The fears that they had, they voiced those fears, at least that we have recorded. And we're going to talk about it right now. What ended up happening to the older generation? Wasn't it the very same thing they were fearing? That ended up happening.
Well, except they didn't die by the sword.
Fair, but they died in the wilderness. Why though? Because God let them corrupt. They faced the consequences of their choices. And so I just think it's interesting. We have a slide on that, so when we get to that slide, we can skip through it a little bit. But I think it's interesting that because I know we jumped right in the middle to Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14. We haven't done the pre-work to get there, but it's all over at the beginning of Numbers. You brought us out here to die. They brought themselves out, I guess. I don't know if it's that. John.
They're only being about a year out of Egypt. And then wanting to go back. They didn't stop to think Pharaoh is not going to do any well. They just got done, God just got done destroying most of Pharaoh's team. And I think Pharaoh is going to be very happy with it. Firstborn son and everybody being killed.
Right. Right.
But it's not going to be a pleasant thing.
Oh, that was question number one. Forgot question number one. Yeah, no, good point. Okay. Numbers, the student of Numbers chapter 14. So the people rebel and wish to elect a leader so that they may return. When does this happen? Yeah, that's a poorly worded question. I don't want to ask it in such a way. First reaction of the people is to get rid of their leader, elect a new one, and return to Egypt. First reaction compared to Patty. Maybe Patty can pull out of the thin air what I'm doing.
But they really did not think that through. Is Egypt going to want them back?
Yeah, and that's what John was saying.
That the Egyptian Pharaoh and all of his army are dead.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come waltzing back in and expect to be received with open arms.
Right. Right. I think that's a good point. And John was sharing similar thoughts.
But when you can't see a way forward, the only thing you know is what you've been from. You know it's better than it was now. You can't see the future. You're naturally going to want to say, well, you got to get out of this. Let's go back to where we were. That's what we know. I mean, maybe that's the only way to look at that. It just, they could not see a way forward. They did not believe it. Whoever was leading them got it otherwise, even through all the things they'd seen.
Yeah, this is a random thought that I didn't study, but I'm going to throw it out there. You guys can tell me how long I'm I have never not gone to church. Grew up going to church, gone to church my whole life. And I've always wondered, if I didn't grow up going to church, if I didn't have the parents I had, where would I be? I don't know if anybody else has ever thought about that. And I'd like to believe that I would have figured it out. But then, when I did figure it out, so many times when we teach people and we talk to people, it's gung-ho at the beginning, and then what happens? We kind of fall to the wayside, and I'm guilty too. I'm not holier than you, but I'll make mistakes too. But a lot of times we see us fall into places that we shouldn't be. And I guess all I'm trying to say is that probably looks a little bit different for me than someone who maybe wasn't in the church for 30 years and then, you know, obeyed the gospel, was baptized, and went to sham. And I'm rambling because this is a random thought that I didn't think through prior to this morning. But I just think, how does that tie to the Israelites? Israelites, when they're wandering in the wilderness, even though they had what they needed, continued to go back. And we're going to see in the beginning of Numbers, they continued to go back. But you guys are right. They would have gotten slaughtered if they went back to Egypt. And absolutely. You think Pharaoh was going to be like, oh yeah, I remember what your God did to my people. And even if they went back, would God have helped them? No, they should have known that too.
But they weren't trusting God, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
But there are things that happen in life that you can't go back, right? You have to go forward. And at that moment, you just have to trust because there's yes. nothing else to do. And they couldn't figure that out.
Yes.
Because their brains were broken.
Right. And so Shauna says my point better than I was. Is it easy to trust sometimes? Or is it easier to take the easy way out, at least as we define it? It is. And so the Israelites, maybe they just didn't want to battle. Were they warriors in Egypt? They weren't. Were they? So all of a sudden they go in and spy out the land, and there's these giant people. And wait, we're gonna go fight this? I don't know if they had a sword before. They weren't raised up to be warriors. They may have been men of age to be warriors. They weren't trained as warriors. It's easy to put ourselves in their shoes and look back. Marsha was first.
Well, you know, I think I think it's easy for those of us who, like you and I, who were raised in the church, to identify with the Israelites, and yet we do the same thing.
Yeah.
We do get weak. And you know, I think, how could you be so dumb? You have this supreme being who's there, who's talking to you through Moses. He's taking care of you. You ask for food, he gives you food. He's there, who asked to be relieved from the Egyptian skin. And we do that same thing. I think it's human nature to always say, well, I had it better before. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And then when you get on the other side of the fence, you think, oh, well, I should have stayed where I was. I do that in many lines. I'll go in, this line's going to school, so I'll move to the next one. And lo and behold, I moved to one of the schools. But I think that's the nature of humans to do that. And yet, it is hard to understand why we do that, why we don't focus ourselves and keep ourselves, at least for me.
Yeah, I agree. Comfortableness, it's not a sin to be comfortable, right? But comfortableness, I go to church on Sunday and I go to church on Wednesday and I don't spread the gospel the other day of the week or things like that. I think that's how I can get comfortable. I should be working for the Lord every day of the week. But comfortableness tells me, yeah, well, I take care of that on Sunday and take care on Wednesday and I'm doing other things. And I think for me, some of maybe the comfortableness would be making me lazy and the things that I really should be doing. If we can all fall into things like that. John?
Not too much. People want to go back to the comfortable. All I knew, I'm not down the cage. I wouldn't go back to cage on a bed right now. Because it's nothing like it was when we were there. You've been raised here in the lowland, so you haven't changed. You've seen the changes slowly. It's drastic changes when you leave an area for 5 or 10 years and try to go back. You cannot do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was just searching for thin air. They say they want to go back to Egypt. Has God given his response to anything yet? At least do they know about it? They don't. I think it's interesting that their first response is we want to go back to Egypt. We're going to elect a leader that's not Moses, and we're going to go back to Egypt. Keep that thought in mind, because I think it's interesting that their gut reaction is to go back to Egypt. We already talked about this. What was their biggest fear? They're going to die. Kevin?
I think their biggest fear was, I made a mistake. I made a mistake by, reading Egypt. And that's what they have a lot of fear.
I agree. They wanted to stay in Egypt, and they thought their women, they thought the women and the children and themselves were all going to perish in the wilderness, which again, it's important to keep that in mind. And I just think it's interesting that it ended up happening. Okay, Proverbs 3, verse 5. You don't have to turn there. It's up on the screen there. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So that's the theme, or at least the verse that we stole for the year. Verse 9, chapter 14, verse 9 says, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land. They are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. We've already talked about the fear that the Israelites had. Joshua was speaking, right? Verse 9. Yeah, Joshua the son of Nun. Again, what does trust look like? Joshua's describing it. Why should they not fear? What does this say right here? Their protection is removed from them. That's why they shouldn't fear. God's with us, not with them. And when God's with us, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Okay, question number 2 and question number 3 on the warm-up sheet. Question number 2 said, describe, in your own words, the reaction of Moses once God tells him children of Israel will be destroyed. Does this remind you of anything from the desert? Even driving over this morning, maybe I'm going with Strauss with the response that I had for this, but I was just curious off the top of your heads if that would make you think of anything. What, if you read or not read, what does Moses say after God tells him, I'm going to destroy them all and I'll raise you up? Yeah, don't do it. Why?
Because the other people, the other land. So you brought them out here to kill them.
Yeah, basically, because God, it's going to create doubt in you. It's going to create doubt in your existence that you weren't able to bring them in up. And again, driving over this morning, I was like, yeah. Moses wants the children of Israel to inherit the kingdom, or the kingdom, right? And we need to inherit what?
Heaven.
Is there anything at any point? I don't want to go there. Never mind. Do you guys have any thoughts here? Or is this completely out of left field? I'll share what I was thinking of at least 3 months ago when I was thinking about this and then rethinking about it in the last week or so. Bob and Sean, first.
He was pointing to Mike.
Oh, John. Sorry.
I think it's interesting that God says, I'm gonna kill them, because I'm so frustrated. And Moses is giving God advice. That makes me chuckle.
Not only does he give him advice, the next question, I think, right, wasn't it, what is God? Yeah, what is, does God take the advice? He seems to take the advice.
But it tells you a lot about the relationship between Moses and God.
It does. It does, absolutely. Absolutely. And I cannot fathom who God is.
Yeah.
But it shows that it wasn't predetermined, at least, maybe. Or at least the dialogue is there. I think that's a good point. Mike.
This question fascinated to me because, and especially discussing it in an open context like this, because what I heard in this response was, the reputation, your reputation can be affected by us, God. Don't let us affect your reputation with the Egyptians. And the first thing I go to is how that applies to us in the church. It is such a powerful point that we cannot forget that we're also disconnected and individual in our lives. No, we're not. The collective relationship that we have in the world affects how we're looked at in society, which has a direct relationship on God. And Moses verbalizes this and says, listen, the Egyptians just saw who you were.
Yeah.
If you destroy them, they're going to be vindicated. Don't yeah. let our weakness affect your reputation with the world, God.
Yeah.
That is such a powerful connection.
I think it's, I agree. And again, I don't want to stretch too far at any point in the next 3 months. So if I am, please let me know. But we read verses in the New Testament about, like, don't bring the book upon the church. And the life that we live reflects who we are and shine your light. And can you kind of see that in here? Moses is kind of telling that to God. Well, wait, God. If this happens, there's going to be doubt put upon who you are. We have that responsibility. John.
When Moses greeted the Lord, he didn't change his mind to say, he modified it by saying, just those that are numbered originally, are going to die and never see the promise. He still killed them, but he softened the blow to make it over a long period of time.
Yeah, I just, it's fascinating. Anything else? I have another, yeah. Marcia, was that a hand of the call?
Yeah, can you imagine living all that time with knowing that God is not going to let you go? I mean, not, you're just waiting in the desert to die. Just what they, you know, like you said, just what they thought at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like what you're thinking came true.
Okay, again, this is kind of along the same lines, so bear with me as we try to think about these Old Testament and New Testament. But verse 12 of Numbers 14 says, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you a nation greater than they. We won't read it, but Moses intercedes, which we've been talking about. Does this... Again, this is where Grabner goes, it makes sense to me. So hopefully, does that remind you? Moses speaks for the people. Does that remind you of anything? I mean, it should. But the where I'm going to the sea. For us, who is that for us? Zach.
Well, there's two. One is your later question, Jesus. But the earlier, before you asked that, I was thinking of Sodom and Gomorrah. Would you not spare the city if this number of people were righteous? Because God was going to destroy all of them.
Yeah.
And the intercession was made. So that's another an Old Testament example that predates this.
That's great. That's a good thought. That's another one of, hey, God, what if it's this? What if it's this? And God seems to, yeah, that's a great thing. Yeah. It's all over. It's all over. God is not this God. You're done.
He is.
When it comes to the point, yes. But how many opportunities do we have to make it right? Endless. Yet, society sometimes tells us, well, God's not that mean. He lets anything happen and we can do anything we want. Is that the picture of God? No, there is a way. Kathy goes with something. Kathy? Absolutely.
Forgiveness and confession, whatever.
Absolutely. There were consequences. Which, again, one of the reasons we're starting in the middle is because we're going to read the beginning of Numbers where they messed up, but God took care of them. They messed up, but God took care of them. They messed up, but God took care of them. But then they, all of a sudden, they messed up and they get taken care of. Matthew chapter 27. Let's go. Matthew 27. Again, this is what I thought of. It doesn't mean that I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. Matthew 27. First person wants to read that. Read that from. Matthew 27:38-42. Anybody?
All right.
Go ahead.
At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God rescue him now, if he delights in him, for he said, I am the Son of God."
Okay, Mark 15:32, someone there already? Read that. And then if someone wants to already turn to Luke, read that. Whoever's there, just start reading.
Mark 15:32. "Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe, even those who are crucified with him, revile him."
So the people are saying, "Jesus, come down, and we'll believe." Luke 23:34. He's got that one.
But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing his garments among themselves.
Moses has been dealing with complaining people for a long time. And man, if there's things I can't handle, it's something. That's why it's like we, teachers are great, but if you're like a teacher and you work with other teachers, teachers are only good at one thing. And it frustrates you. So the children of Israel are complaining. God says, "Fine, I'll destroy them." If Moses said, "Fine, God, take care of him, I'm sick of dealing with him," could we see that point of view maybe? Is that what Moses does? Well, this is where I don't want to stretch too far. Because Moses does say, "God, you need to show who you are. And if you don't show who you are with these people, there's going to be doubt." So we could talk about whether Moses is trying to save the people or show God's power. But I certainly can see how if Moses would have said, "Fine, God, take care of me," I would understand that. Jesus was getting spit on, getting yelled at, all those things, had just been scourged. He's up on the cross and very easily could have said, "I'll take care of all of them." What does he say?
Forgive.
Man, that doesn't get to me now. Forgive. And I don't want to stretch too far, but Moses interceded for the people, just as Jesus intercedes for us. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And that's what I was thinking of when I read Numbers chapter 14. That's the God that we serve, that loved us in such a way that he sent his son, that Jesus was mistreated in the way he was mistreated. And then when he's up on the cross, still his intent was to save souls, to spread the gospel, to teach who God is, to teach who what his death was doing. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's amazing. It's amazing. So why should we trust in the Lord with all your heart? That's why. That's why. Regardless of God pardoning the Israelites, though, we've talked about, they do face consequences. I don't want to lose track of that either. Because we're not just randomly forgiven of everything. I didn't say that right. When we make mistakes, there is consequences. Jesus has provided a way for us to be forgiven of those. But it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. Okay, we got to finish Numbers 14. Dave.
You know, the congregation was there ready to stone Moses, but then since the Lord appeared in full meetings to all the sons of Israel, so God at that point interceded, which prevented the stone.
Right.
You guys can go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. That's a great point. I don't want to spend more time on this. What was the first response of the Israelites? After they messed, not after they messed up, after the report's given, they say, let's go back to Egypt. Then God says what he says. Moses says what he says. And tells the people, yeah? What's the people's second reaction? Yeah, fine, we'll go. We'll go possess the land. I think it's interesting that their gut reaction was to go back to Egypt. But then after they find out they're all going to die in the wilderness, okay, well, now we'll go possess the land. I think that's interesting. If their gut reaction changed their mind, if Caleb changed their mind or Joshua changed their mind, maybe they could have still went up and possessed the land. But they don't want to go possess the land until after they find out they're all going to die. I think that's interesting. I really do. Israel's defeated, though. They try to go up. Israel's defeated. Patty. No decision was made easily. Which, a congregation of the size that the children of Israel was. Sometimes there's three of us and we can't decide where to go to lunch. But I don't know. Okay, we'll finish with this. Any thoughts on this question? I know we rushed through some of that. Please call me out. Dave brings up a good point with God in there, and there's just, there's not enough time in the day right now. So if you have a thought, share it. Mike.
Well, verse 21 of chapter 14.
Verse 21 of chapter 14.
Verse 20 and 21. So after the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. So regardless of whether or not they were going to follow him the way he wanted them or not, he would have either destroyed them and come up with another people or pardoned them and move forward, but he was going to be glorified no matter what, which of course is analogous to Christ dying on the cross, because in the old commandment, we were supposed to follow commandments of and whatnot, you keep yourself pure, so to speak. But in the New Testament covenant, there is nothing that you can do. You know, that's the concept of grace. And you still have to have the salvation. Salvation comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that's one of the things that is being demonstrated here too, is that he was going to be glorified no matter what. It's like when he came down from the mountain, he was dancing around the golden calf and wanted to destroy the men.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And just 10-second thought. He doesn't say, I'm not going to take care of my people. When he's talking to Moses, he says, well, I'll just raise you up and I'll take you and make you a great nation. So I think that's a great point. No matter what we choose to do, God's glory and power is going to be there. Thank you, everybody. Homework for next class. It's on the bottom of your sheet if you have a sheet. If you're at Zoom, hopefully you jot it down real quick.